Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, tonight's sharing is going to be on a couple of different things. The focus is really going to be on a woman named Abigail and a perspective and the lesson of Abigail and Nabal. I think it's really Nabal. And there's a whole lesson that's in there. You'll miss it if you don't have somebody show this, point some things out to you, which I missed it too a couple times because you read it and you're like, what? Some of this doesn't make sense. But it's also going to be a lesson about hearts. And there's going to be the hearts of different people. And Yahweh tests the heart. And really the whole gist of the whole teaching is sin is never faultless without a victim. You don't think of Yahweh as a victim, do you? But when you sin, you have victimized him. And he's not like the victim we think, but you have offended him. And it's not okay until you fix it. And so an interesting thing with criminals, they'll call themselves offenders. And I was like, we are offenders. And it's a good way of looking at it, because what can happen is, since he's not bringing anything up, we feel like, hey, everything must be okay. It's not okay. As I was thinking about that, my sister has a dog. Can you imagine your house's videos and you saw me kick your dog for no reason, spit on it? And then you come home from work, you're like, hey, what's up? How you doing? And I'm acting like everything's fine. But you never bring anything up. It must be okay. Maybe she didn't watch. Maybe she didn't even know I did it. But if you knew that I did that and I didn't try to do anything to fix it, would that affect that relationship? Absolutely. And it'd be the same way with your rats. My niece has pet rats. If I let them out intentionally and playing around with something like that, and you come home and you watch it, and you're like, why did you do that? I mean, I watch. You're right there on video. You never did. You intentionally did that. Everything we do is on video. Everything is watched. And an important thing about even with this teaching, while I was getting ready to do this teaching, if we are in fellowship, we have a witness inside of us that bears witness. And you know what you're supposed to do. Have you ever had an idea what you're supposed to do? So you're running by a counselor and they tell you, you don't have to do it. You're like, good, yes. You start walking the other way and you're like, he's like, you do whatever you want. And you're like, oh no. This morning started off that way because I had the teaching. I had things ready to go. I got all that stuff to do. So I'm not going to have enough time to do my ab workout, which is praying. Because I'll get right to work. Okay, that makes sense. I got peace with it. That makes a lot of sense. And I was going to do this whole teaching about being obedient and stuff. And the whole thing was, you do whatever you want. You know what you're supposed to do. But the point of it is, when we sin or somebody sins, Yahweh has been offended. And I think of it as a victim. And it is up to us to try to fix that. And so the lesson is going to really be on Abigail and Nabal. And then we're going to look at some other people also. Some other hearts. So if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. But if you guys saw me do that to my sister's dog, wouldn't that make you sick to your stomach? You'd be like, God, how would you do that and act like nothing ever happened? Or you fill in the blank about doing something. Anytime a believer sins against Yahweh, he has been offended. And what's really important about that too is that people have good intentions and it was done not maliciously. Was Yahweh offended when Uzziah touched the Ark of the Covenant? Yeah. And whose fault was it? It was Uzziah. All the people around, they should have read that they were commanded to read the scriptures. The king was supposed to read the scriptures and still going, hey man, what are you guys doing? So the thing is, when people are ignorant, it's not about you getting away with something. The purpose of his life is him and his son, and if you're offending them, fix it. If you see somebody going, why are you doing that to them? They never did anything wrong to you. In fact, I mean, what a horrible, they never did anything wrong to you. What do you owe them? You know, Daniel said that to Nebuchadnezzar. The very breath that is in your mouth belongs to him. The ground that you live on belongs to him. The dirt that you were made of belongs to him. You are allowed to exist. Honor him. And so, chapter 25...
1 Samuel 25.
1 Samuel chapter 25. If you guys would take turns reading for me, starting at verse 1. And we're going to read all the way through verse 10.
Samuel died, and all Israel was gathered together and made lamentations for him, and buried him within his own house in Ramah. And David arose and went down into the wilderness of Maon. Now there was a man in Maon whose cattle were in Carmel, and the man was exceedingly great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and so it was that he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of this man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and the woman was of good understanding and a beautiful figure, but the man was unfeeling and of evil practices, and he was a Kabilite. So then David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. David therefore sent 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Go up to Carmel and enter in unto Nabal, and you shall ask him in my name of his welfare, and say thus, Long life to thee, mayest thou prosper, and thy household prosper, and all that thou hast prosper. Now therefore have I heard that thou hast shears. Well, the shepherds that thou hast have been with us. We reproach them not, neither miss they anything, all the days they were in Carmel. Ask the young men that they may tell you, that so my young men may find favor in thine eyes. For on a good day have we come. Give, I pray thee, what thy hand findeth to thy servants and to thy son, to David. So David's young men came and spake unto Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and waited. Then Nabal answered the servants of David and said, Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? Nowadays many are the servants that have broken away, every one from the presence of his Lord.
So we look at this, and if you don't have a little background and stuff, it just looks, it kind of appears like David's mooching. It appears, hey, you're having these shearings and stuff, you got extra stuff. That's not the case, though. David doesn't bring up what he actually did. When he says we didn't steal anything, is what it looks like. It's not. Because we're later on, the young men are going to say they were a wall to us. They were bodyguards to us. David doesn't say that. Maybe it's because of honor. And David even calls himself his son to this evil person. But hey, share some of this stuff. And what's real important is, what would that mean? Later on, we're going to read that the young men said they are like our bodyguards. We owed them. There's a Hebrew word that's real important. What's it called? Hesed. We owe him. And so it's real important with the Hebrews that if somebody does something, it is obligatory. It's not an option. You have to do this. You better do this. And so Yahweh really honors the Hesed, and especially the Hesed for the dead. We learned about this with Jabesh Gilead and stuff. Yahweh's watching everything. Who's watching this? Yahweh is watching this. And what did Nabal say? Was he right in his own eyes?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's thought about it. Is he wealthy? Probably a good businessman. He's a mooch. Everybody's whatever he is. Did Nabal convince himself? Absolutely. Keep your finger here, and we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to read two other responses very similar to Nabal. And the name Nabal is the same, I think it's a psalm that says, The fool says there is no God. It's the Hebrew word Nabal, Nabal. It's the same word. The fool says there is no God.
The fool is Nabal?
Uh-huh. Stubborn.
No. There's another scripture that says the fool says there's no God. The Hebrew word for fool is the same as Nabal.
Oh.
Okay.
That's what she asked.
That's what I asked.
Is that what she asked? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Now, Yahweh put the commandments out. Adam and Eve. Did Yahweh know the commandments? Did Yahweh know what happened? Okay. Let somebody read. So then Yahweh calls unto the man, verse 9. Yahweh called. Would somebody read 9 and 10 for me?
And Yahweh Elohim called unto the man and said to him, Where art thou? And he said, The sound of thee heard I in the garden, and I was afraid, for naked was I, so I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that naked thou wast? Of the tree whereof I commanded thee not to eat, hast thou eaten? And the man said, The woman who thou didst put with me, she gave me the tree, so I did eat.
Did Adam sound justified in his own response to you think he sounded good to himself?
Yeah.
The woman you gave me.
You gave
me. In chapter 2 it said I should leave my father and mother and cleave to my wife. You're our father. Right? Quoting scriptures. He gave his answer. Turn to chapter 4, verse 10. Would somebody read? This is Cain, after he murders Abel.
He said, What hast thou done? With a voice, the shed blood of thy brothers crying out to me from the ground.
Oh, I'm sorry. It should have been verse 9. I said 10.
Then said Yahweh unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. The keeper of my brother am I?
And so right there, did Cain have a response to Yahweh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he know Yahweh knows what's going on?
He should.
No, absolutely. It's Romans 1, everybody knows. Whether it's sodomy or whatever the thing, you know, there's certain laws, everybody knows there's going to be a judgment, and he sees it. But what did Cain do here? The important thing about these sins is if we don't look at it, and I've never seen it in this light either, who has been the victim?
Yahweh.
Well, besides Abel being murdered, the number one victim in sin is Yahweh. He has been the one that's been hurt. Do you want to talk about it? And when he comes to Cain, right here, what is he doing? He's giving Cain a chance. Galatians 6 says, That which you sow, you will reap. I will not be mocked. The best way of explaining that I have is Yahweh has a law. It says he's slow to anger. Some people say long suffering. It's not true. It's actually slow to anger. What does that mean? You ever met somebody with a short fuse?
Yeah.
Have you ever lit a firecracker with a short fuse? Yeah. Yahweh has a long fuse, but eventually there's detonation. Everybody's going to pay. You don't have to pay for the sins you reap, even though you've offended him. He gives you a way out. He gave Adam a way out. Adam could have fell to his knees, even if it didn't get you out of trouble. What have you done? Wouldn't it have been wonderful? I mean, if you could go back. We don't know of any other sin of Adam ever doing, do we? This is it. But what if he fell to his knees like King David? What have I done to you? How could I have done this to you? Wouldn't that have been... But he doesn't. And I've been guilty of both Cain's and Abel's with sin. I got away with it or whatnot. And then, but sometimes the things start sneaking up with you, especially when you're a teenager. You're like, oh, okay, I don't want to pay the piper. There's a movie in Luther where Luther is supposed to be a lawyer and he didn't believe Yahweh. He's calling to be a priest. It's the very beginning. And he's running and he's yelling at Yahweh, I'm not going to be a priest. And lightning, he almost gets struck by lightning. It's a true story. Yeah, the beginning, and he finally, the light, boom, and he falls down, I'll do it. And the beginning of the movie is Martin Luther's dad going, I don't know, he says, you think you talked to God because lightning went up, you got struck by lightning in the arse. His dad was all, but Luther knew he was given a choice. Nabal was given a choice. He owed his sin. How did he respond? And so that Nabal responded like Cain and Abel, and like a lot of believers when you confront them, just say, "You think you're getting away with something, okay? But we're off the hook here. I'm off the hook. You're gonna pay the piper, and it's not just pay the piper. Look what you did to him. He's the victim. Christ is the victim." And you do that, you spit right in their face. And I have a feeling with Nabal, once you get money, with the kings and stuff, and here's Nabal's an exceedingly wealthy man, and maybe all of a sudden, it says he gives himself a banquet like a king. But in this case, Now we'll go back and somebody would start reading verse 12. We're going to read the rest of the context and then about Abigail. Well, actually, we don't have to, so I'll try to keep things, to shorten things up a little bit. When the young men come back to David, he's going to say, everybody put on your sword. If you don't have some of this content here, wait a minute, you're going to go kill Nabal for this, for not sharing his stuff? They'll be taking things out of context. Or not knowing the context. David gets ready to go to war. In a verse 13, he puts 400 men, 200 abode by the stores, but a certain one of her young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Lo, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to bless our Lord, and to treat them with, and he could treat them with contempt." Look at the footnote. Would somebody read the footnote?
Fell upon them, stormed at them.
He stormed at them? This is King David, the anointed, the king, the prophet who represents Yahweh. But the men were exceedingly good to us, and we were not harmed, neither missed we anything. All the days we went to and fro with them while we were in the fields, a wall became they to us both by night and by day, all the days we were with them tending the flocks. Now therefore, so what David is doing, this is he said, you owe us. You owe me. Do you know who else we owe? Our mother and our father. I was thinking about that earlier. I had no idea how much I owed my mother and my father until I had a son. Dude, you're 6 years old. All you've done is take. Well, you entertain me every once in a while. But, I mean, I know that. Yeah, I got to see him 4 days a month. You know, because his mom took off. But still, all you do, wake up, I feed you, I clean you, you throw up, I got to clean this up. The whole thing with having a child, I was so grateful for my mother and my father. And then when a little kid picks a fight with me, when I just want to play with him, I'm like, why did you do this to me? And Yahweh's like, why would you ever have done that to your mother and your father? Hesed is you owe somebody. And even if they don't ask you to pay them back, Yahweh's watching. And he is not fooled. I don't care what you say. You can be like Nabal. Nabal convinced himself. Nabal chose to reap what he had sown. Cain chose to reap what he had sown. Adam chose to reap what Adam could have fell down and maybe would have got out of it, but at least he would have made an attempt. No attempt in the text. So now, let's see here. Where did I stop reading? 17. Would somebody read 17?
Now therefore know thou and see what thou canst do, for mischief is determined against our Lord and against all his household. But he is such an abandoned man that he cannot speak unto him. Then Abigail hastened and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep made ready and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 cakes of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and put them on the asses. And she said to her young man, "Pass on before me, behold me coming after you." But to her husband, Nabal, told she nothing. And so it was...
That's important, because they're married.
Yeah.
Wait, stand by your man. You got a covenant. What is she going to do? Okay, all right.
And so it was, as she was riding on her ass and descending within the covert of the hill, lo, David and his men descending over against her, so she met them. Now David has said, "Surely in vain did I guard all that pertained to this man in the wilderness, so that there was nothing missing of all that he had, seeing he hath returned to me evil for good. So my Elohim do to David, and so may he add, if I have remaining of all that he hath unto this morning, so much as a little boy."
Who's going to die? Every male. Who does he represent?
Yahweh.
Yahweh's not mocked. Okay?
And when Abigail saw David, she hastened and alighted from off her ass and fell down before David upon her face and prostrated herself on the ground. Yea, she fell at his feet and said, "Oh me, even me, my Lord, be the transgression. But I pray thee, let thy handmaid speak in thy ears, and hear thou the words of thy handmaid."
What did she do wrong?
Nothing.
Abigail didn't do anything wrong. Joseph's brothers had no fear of Yahweh. And if you go to Genesis, what was the purpose of this whole sifting of his brothers and this testing with the cups and sending them away? Scriptures don't show, but one thing we do know is that they were not in fear of Yahweh. They had thought they got away with Joseph. And now they go, then they finally, they're speaking Hebrew in front of Joseph. We heard his voice. We heard him pleading with us, and this is coming upon us because of Joseph. Finally, they don't want to reap. They don't want to reap. That's why they turned. Abigail didn't do anything wrong. In fact, it's her husband who's wicked. What does she do?
He gives her stuff.
Holy you shall be because I am holy. If you do not separate, holy means separate. If somebody's doing something wicked, you better separate. And what is Abigail going to do? She's going to separate from her husband. And you know what's going to happen if she did not? All these innocent boys and men are going to get wiped out.
Yeah.
Okay? And what's her heart? She didn't even do anything wrong. Where's her heart? But the thing is, it's to Yahweh, here's Hesed, everything else, okay? And you'll find out later on when you read it, she knows who David is. David is the prophet. He's the anointed. He's the king that Yahweh appointed. He represents Yahweh. And we're going to find it. You know what she does at David's feet? She falls at his feet. Later on, when David asked to marry her, what did she? You remember the response? What did she say?
She said, "I'll wash your servant's feet."
Your handmaid to wash the servant's your servant's feet. Is that a heart for Yahweh? Because not just because it's who David represents. It's who this represents. Yahweh is a victim every single day when people sin or they mock him, whatever these things, whoever it is. And he's not mocked. He's got, have you been a teenager and got away with something? Oh yeah, been a 20-year-old, thought I got away with it. And all of a sudden, see some red flashing lights for speeding. I'll do anything. Oh, in fact, there's a couple other things I can fix too. I'll fix all this stuff. Get me out of this ticket. And all of a sudden it starts coming up. You don't have to reap what you've sown. But if you do what Nabal does, Cain and Abel, no, I haven't done anything wrong. We're going to go to another scripture on that. Then you're going to reap it now. That fuse is going to go. But it's just, he's not my. Okay, somebody could read again.
25.
Yeah.
Let it not be, I pray thee, that my Lord regard this abandoned man, Nabal.
Wait a minute, that's her husband. She should be standing beside them. Blood is thicker than wine. Nothing's like family. Those who do my father's word will, or a brother and sister of mine. What is she doing? She's separating, going, he is wicked, you are righteous. Okay?
For as his name is, so is he. Nabal, base, is his name, and baseness is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, by the life of Yahweh and by the life of thy own soul, seeing Yahweh is withholding thee from coming in with bloodshed and from saving thyself with thy own hand, now therefore, let Nabal be thine enemies and they who are making search for my Lord wrongfully. Now therefore, this blessing which thy maidservant have brought to my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men who are going to and fro at the feet of my Lord. Forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy handmaid, for Yahweh will certainly make for my Lord an assured house, for the battle of Yahweh is my Lord fighting, and wrong shall not be found in thee all thy days. Yea, though there hath arisen a son of Ur to pursue thee and to seek thy life, yet shall the life of my Lord be bound up in the bundle of the living, which Yahweh thy Elohim. But as for the life of thine enemies, he shall sling it out with the middle of the hollow of this sling. Keep reading.
Yeah, if somebody doesn't mind, keep reading. Mel or Mom.
And it shall be when Yahweh shall do for my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall put thee in charge as leader over Israel, then shall this not become to thee a staggering and stumbling of heart unto my Lord, that thou didst either shed blood without need, or that the hand of my Lord saved himself, And when Yahweh have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thou thy handmaid.
What was David's heart? Yahweh is looking for a man after his own heart. Here's David. He would do whatever Yahweh had him do. Yahweh, David's a prophet. Go kill him. Wipe him out. What does she do? She doesn't just come back with a trespass offering. When you offend somebody or you have hurt somebody, you owe them. And Yahweh had a trap. Don't come to me empty-handed, whatever it is. And so then when you sin or do something, here's this huge offering. Forgive thy trespasses. And then she prophesies to him. And she starts talking about, you are the anointed and all the rest of stuff. And that must have melted David's heart. And here this is, because David's, what happened right before this? Samuel just died. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
That would have broke his heart. Here you are, then here's a prophecy. Here's his woman. And David's, and then, and David said unto Abigail, verse 32, blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, who has sent thee today. Who sent her?
Yahweh.
Wait a minute. Thou shalt cleave to your husband. Stick to your family. Yahweh gave her a choice. He gave Nabal a choice. He gave Cain a choice. He gave Adam a choice. What are you going to do? She could have said, he hasn't done anything wrong. But then David's going to say, blessed be thy judgment. Blessed be that be thou thyself who hast kept me this day from coming in with bloodshed and from saving myself with mine own hand. Nevertheless, by the life of Yahweh Elohim of Israel, who hath restrained me from harming thee, surely, except thou hast hastened and come to meet me, there had not been left unto Nabal by the light of this morning such so much as a little boy. Sin has consequences. And if you have sin in your camp, guess what happened with Achan? 26 men died because of that one person. There's consequences, all kinds of things we can't understand. But David's going to say, you just saved a lot of people's lives. Somebody read verse 36. And when Abigail came to Nabal, lo, he had a banquet in his house, like a banquet of a king. And the heart of Nabal was glad according. He having drunk deeply. So she told him nothing less and more until the light of the morning. And it came to pass in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, he started sobering up. And his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. And it came to pass in about 10 days. What does it say?
Yahweh smote him.
Deuteronomy chapter 27-28. What I wanted to do tonight, most people don't want to read it. These are the curses. You either sow blessings or you sow cursings. And the curses, there's lists and lists. Hemorrhoids are a curse. Your wife committing adultery is a curse. When I've told people that, do they tell me? Well, I don't think that applies to me. That doesn't even make sense. That whether you make sense, it didn't make sense to Nabal either. What did he say? The curse is, you will pay the piper. Nabal, it didn't make sense to him. Dead. That which you sow, you will reap. And if Nabal had not been beclouded by his own sin or his own flesh and that self-deception, do you think if he could do this all over again, even if he was wicked? Because what's going to happen to his wife? David's going to get his wife. Was it worth it, Nabal? Nabal? What do you think he would say? Uh-uh. You're dead!
Can't say.
He chose to reap what he had sown. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Now, I remember when I first heard that story, I was like, boy, if he's such an evil person, I wonder if her life was on the line. But if that'd be the case, if she's a righteous woman, I'd rather be smitten by an evil person than for my God to smite me. I don't want to smite him. But the sin of Nabal, Yahweh was the victim. You're going to pay this back. No, I'm not. I don't owe you nothing. You ever had like a little kid mouthing off to their mom and dad? I don't have to do nothing. There, I got to work for this one lady. She's hilarious. Ranch hand type people. I went out to her house. She said, yeah, when we first went out in the country, went out to, there's something in the chickens, and there's I freaked out because there's a possum, so she was, Jess just goes there, grabbed the possum by its tail. Is that what you're scared of? Started swirling and throwing it, and then she was telling all these funny stories now growing up out in the country, and she said, she was a single mom, and her, she'd tell her daughter, you will not do that, or else. And you know what her daughter said? Or else what? Do you know what she said? You will never do it again. I'll make it unprofitable. If you do this, trust me, it'll be so unprofitable, you'll never do it again. Little girl's challenging this, going, maybe, maybe not. We have done that to Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Do you think Yahweh knows how to make it unprofitable? Boils, bankruptcy, you're in prison. Holy moly, you get your shipwreck, your airplane's going down, your legs got chopped off, or like, whatever it is. But turn to chapter 16, verse 2, somebody would read this. And this is the heart of somebody living in sin. Would somebody read 16, verse 2?
All the ways of a man may be pure in his own eyes, but he that testeth spirits and is Yahweh. Roll.
That's, no, that's it right there. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. Oh, I'm justified. Oh, are you it? Tick, tock, tick. Oh, Barack Obama. Tick, tock, tick. Hillary Clinton, the thing you're getting away with it? No, no. Nobody's gotten away with anything. Yahweh tests the spirits. And with King Solomon, when he says, divide the child. And one woman says, don't, let her have the child. And one woman goes, ah, cut it in half. And he goes, the woman that said spare it, that's the real mother. And they all were in the word awe. A-W-E. What does awe mean?
Fear.
Fear. What is, why? Do you know what a polygraph test is? I remember one time I got caught lying. I was in 8th grade. My dad says, your principal called and says you did this and this. That's not it. I'm a victim. I did this and this is this what happened. And dad was like, really? That's really what happened. Oh, yeah. He was like, would you be willing to take a polygraph test? I went, yeah, what's a polygraph test? It's a lie detector test. Dad, we got to talk. Going to Solomon is going to a judge even more so than a lie detector test. Can you imagine going to court? Divorce court? Bankruptcy court? Hook them up. Whoa, 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 whoa. And Solomon, when they found out, you're not just going to a judge, you're going to Yahweh. And they saw that, and Yahweh was testing both of them. Here this whole thing is. And a neat thing about Solomon, because he was a type of Jesus Christ, and it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, everybody's going to go before Christ. Talk about a lie detector test? You're going to receive good and bad. Everything you did, oh, you were right in your own eyes, right? Too late. Test is over. Pass it in. No time to repent. No time to fix it. You could have fixed it. But Yahweh gives people a chance. He did it with David, too. Here's with Nathan. He goes to Nathan look at Yahweh's heart. He could have just thundered down David with lightning, couldn't he? He could have carried him away like Manasseh, right? Mm-hmm. But he didn't. He told him a story about a sheep. And what happened to David? He melted. And he goes, I'm the guy. How could I have done this to Yahweh? Abigail and King David melted before Yahweh, but everybody gets a chance. They get a choice. And Yahweh writes his words. Somebody read chapter 17, verse 15. Before we read it, I was talking to a guy I grew up with. His brother is a surgeon. I was asking some surgeon advice. and he kind of went off on a tangent and he started talking about this and started going into politics. And I'm like, I'll listen. He just gave me really good advice. So if he needs an ear, I'll be your ear. He's monologuing for 45 minutes. They start going on about homosexuals. He didn't call me gay. I don't agree with it. But if it doesn't affect me, just go do your own thing. It's victimless. That's what it is. It's not hard. It's consensual. Is what he's saying. It's fine. Just leave it alone. You know, just, hey, it's over there. They're fine. I like peace. I want peace. All I want is peace. So did Switzerland with Hitler. Hey, what do we got to do to have peace? Give us your Jews. But chapter 17, verse 15. Would somebody read that?
He that justifies the lawless and he that condemneth the righteous, an abomination to Yahweh are they both.
If you justify the lawless, sin offends Yahweh. He knows what happened. And if you're afraid of confronting the sin because you're going to hurt their relationship, Yahweh's right there. You become an abomination. And Brian, my friend Brian, I go, you know that when you start justifying, say, let them go do what they want, you know you become an abomination to your... And he's like, what does that even mean? You know you're going to be judged for this life. And when you do something like that, every word you say and you do is going to be judged. And Yahweh says you're going to be an abomination. If you don't, you better start choosing some sides and start thinking about Judgment Day. And for believers, it's going to be you're saved. Now let's take a look at your work. What did you do? You didn't get away with that. You didn't get away with that. And I had that idea to teach him about nobody's gotten away with anything. And as I did the teaching, I was like, I got some balance sheets I got to fix. The objective is for Yahweh's sake. The blessing. He's the victim. He's the victim. But King Solomon with the lie detector, who would want to go before a judge like that? If you're righteous, absolutely. But if you're lying and sinning, and he goes, why did you justify the lawless? You said leave him alone? Up here. You'd have a chance to fall down and go, I blew it, I'm sorry, I don't want to pay. And Yahweh gives everybody a chance. You don't have to reap what you've sown. And Yahweh is so gracious. So, Cain... Adam, Cain, Nabal, they got an opportunity to correct the balance sheets. They chose not to. David and Abigail did. And you say three justified their offense and two said, they don't want to reap the consequences. And the point is, with the teaching is not for you to not reap the consequences. It's to see Yahweh as the victim of your sin. Whether it's direct sin or indirect sin, to say, who am I? I am so sorry. How could I have ever done anything? And then he will wash you as clean as white as snow. This, 1 John 1:9. Faithful and just is he to forgive you if you confess your sins. Then he can wipe those things away. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your teaching. We thank you for helping us be more like your son and helping us... be firm and do what your word says. And if your word says don't do it, we won't do it. We're in fear of you and in reverence to say, I fear you more than I fear man. And I owe you more than anything. I owe any human being. And let us be like Abigail's that separates herself when family members or loved ones choose wickedness. You know a tree by its fruit. I thank you, Father. Know, my children, that I understand everything that is in your scales, the heavy things, and I know all the excuses and the reasons that hold you back. But what you are not considering is me. I am the one that invented the scale. I invented gravity. And I am the neutralizer, and I can fix almost anything. Don't underestimate. Just, you know, there's little kids. Little children, their faith in their mother and their father is so beautiful that something's broke. They just, can you fix this? Because they just know their mother and father are that good. I need you to look at me like that, and I can fix things and renew things, and I can replace things. Amen.
Amen.